Welcome to another inspiring Sister's Message. We hope you are blessed by this ministry.
I don't know if you've noticed, but this is the third month that we've had a beautiful prepared item for you. And each time there was a little girl involved. Did you notice that? And that's very strategic and very deliberate, because there is that little girl in all of us that is so beautiful in the way that Crystal shared her story tonight, that for some people, the little girl grew up intact, so to speak, although I believe we are all wounded, we're all broken in some way or another, because we live in a broken, fallen world, amen? And so I just want to start by saying a few things, and then I'm going to give you the title of tonight's message, as per how Pastor Andre does it. Have you noticed? I can't do anything different, just that's my conviction. So it was J.R.R. Tolkien who said, every good fairy tale must begin with once upon a time and end with happily ever after. Now, before you get all worried about me, I'm not new agey or spooky, and by the way, I don't particularly like, or never really did like fairy tales, but you'll see where I'm going with this. So once upon a time are perhaps some of the most widely used words in the world. Stories from all over the globe have begun with them for centuries. You know, those four little words are said and the imagination is set free. And with our theme this year, imagine, saying those words, I'm hoping will do something for you tonight, that it would set your imagination free. Children love stories that begin with once upon a time. Isn't that so true? I mean, they can be boisterous and not want to sleep, and you just say, come, let me tell you a story. Once upon a time, and they're all eyes and all ears. I know I'm right. I had three of my own. We think about great adventures when we hear those few words. You know, beauties to be rescued, gingerbread men, ducklings that turn into beautiful swans, the hobbits that go on grand adventures to the very ends of the earth. Real life, though, isn't anything like a fairy tale. There are no knights in shining armor, no frogs that upon being kissed will turn into this handsome prince and swing you around, and you can float on a cloud that we see up ahead. And sadly, there are no lands that exist beyond the wardrobes. Although I love Narnia, I really do. I love Narnia as the kind of fairy tale that I like. But real life can be very boring. Truly, for some, life is a dismal existence, where one day blurs into the next, and each day goes on, and nothing ever really changes. But you know, in our hearts, there is something more than just humdrum. Isn't it true? There's got to be something more than just humdrum. Our hearts cry out for more. And there is, because God has placed eternity in the heart of every human being on the earth. God has put that hunger in us. God has put that God-shaped vacuum in us that only He can fill. Now, isn't it true that the Bible asks us this question? What shall it profit anyone to gain the whole world but to lose your soul? Because God knows this world is not all there is, and this world will never fulfill us. Jesus came to give us an abundant life, yes. He's come to give us life and life more abundantly. And it's beautiful. It can be fantastic. But this is not all there is. This is not what is going to fill that God-shaped vacuum. We need more than this world. Now, I recently re-released Small Beginnings, my book, and it's about my once upon a time. But you have your once upon a time. Amen? And, you know, we saw some of Crystal's Once Upon a Time Tonight. And this room is filled with a diversity of people's Once Upon a Time. And I wonder what it looks like, but I need to say this. No one here, your Once Upon a Time is not insignificant. Your Once Upon a Time, with its hurts, with its wounds, with its ups, with its downs, is not insignificant. It is so significant to God. You have to believe what I tell you tonight. You know, you may be visiting church for the very first time tonight, and you're wondering what all of this is about. I need to tell you, the message is good news. You know, when you come into the house of God, when you become part of the kingdom of God, the message is good news. Yes, there is a once upon a time that you have as a reality in your life, but God wants to rewrite your once upon a time. And so tonight's title is Imagine Rewriting Your Once Upon a Time. So I'm going to just say something, and it's probably going to be quite hard for some of you. Because in my 36 years in the ministry, and I've known God for 45 years, it's a long time to have met thousands upon thousands of people. Not everyone you meet you necessarily talk to. Not everybody that you meet shares their stories with you. But there's very little that surprises me at this stage in my life. Sisters ministry has been one of the most fulfilling experiences of my entire ministry life, because it didn't start out that way. It didn't start where I can say the things that I say now. But I remember, and I still have it to this day, where women will come to me after a service like this and just open their hearts to me. And I absolutely love it, and I've learned so much about different cultures and about different things that women go through, and never knew. I never knew certain things about women. Our sisters, I never knew, but I've come to learn so much by people sharing their stories. Now, I do not mean to open old wounds, because people all suffer rejection and abandonment and shame in one way or the other. But again, I just want to remind us that sisters exists to place value on women. That's what we're here to do. Point you to Jesus, our Father, our God, our Father, to Jesus, our Savior, and to one another, because we are better together. We are not here. We don't have gossip parties. We don't sit after a service, or next week we have a catch-up meeting where we discuss everybody's dirty linen. And we share all the horrible things about their lives. This is not what we do. We pray for you. We care for you. That is why your response card is in your seat every time you're in a service, because we care for you and we pray for you. I'm going to sit down because I want to be a girl in the room tonight with you, if that's okay. Because I'm going to say a few things that might just be hurtful to you. Because you may be thinking, I didn't come here to have my old wounds opened up. But I have learned that even as we watch the story of Crystal tonight, that when you face that thing head on, that is when God can do something amazing in you. So don't run from it. Don't hide from it. Don't say, I'm never going to talk about this. No one's ever going to know. No, that's not how it works. You know, what does your once upon a time look like? Maybe it was like this. I was born as a result of rape. I was born as a result of my mother's affair. By the way, what I'm sharing with you tonight, all these points, are all the things that I have learned from being at Sisters Ministries, where girls made themselves vulnerable and shared with us. Some of them were even shared on the screen. I was abused by a family member. I was abused by my teacher. I was abused by my pastor. I'm of mixed race, and it was a family secret, especially during those days. Remember those days? I was born the ugly one in the family, Pastor Vilma. I was born the ugly one, and I'm so hurt by it. I grew up in a shack and people used to mock me. I grew up feeling ashamed because of the color of my skin. I was mocked and bullied because I was different. I stole from my work, and I'm so sorry about that. I was abandoned by my mother and grew up in an orphanage. I had learning problems and did not do well at school, so I do not earn a lot of money. I broke up my husband's marriage, his first marriage, and now he's having another affair. I'm so sorry and so ashamed because I now know how that feels. I've been betrayed by my best friend. Can you relate to any of this? So, you know, as I said, I don't mean to open up old wounds, but I am sure that all of us sitting here, including myself, we have suffered some form of a wound. We are wounded, as I said, in one way or the other, and we all need help and we all need healing. Amen? Do you know that God knows you intimately? Do you know that God knew me intimately before I even knew him intimately? I know him intimately now. Now I have a personal, intimate relationship with God. But before I knew him, he knew me intimately. And so my first thought tonight on rewriting your once upon a time, the first thought is our beginning matters to God. Our beginning matters to God. He knows everything about us. He's a caring God. And listen to this. If he did not know about your beginning, how is he going to rewrite your once upon a time? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God knew you from the time that you were conceived? And because of that, he can rewrite your once upon a time. Psalm 139 is a psalm that has been really like a foundational psalm for sisters, for us here. And I know that I'm going through old stuff with you if you've been here a long time, but just bear in mind there are new girls that have joined us, amen? And they need to hear this. And so this is a psalm of David, and it's David who has this intimate relationship with God, but the principle remains. Even if you don't have that intimate relationship with Jesus or God right now, this is the principle of this psalm. It says, God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you, night and day. Darkness and light, they're all the same to you. Oh, yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you. Hi, God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Isn't that our theme this year, girls? From nothing into something, create. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. We are his creation, and he has never abandoned us. Never, ever, ever. God doesn't want to hear any of us say, I wish I was never born. I know I have spoken those words when I was a teenager and my mother wouldn't give me my own way. How stupid was I? How rebellious was I? And that's a silly reason for saying, I wish I was never born. But there are people who are in such despair as adults, as senior citizens, who have spoken those words because they haven't known where to turn, on the brink of suicide because of all the despair and the disappointment in their lives. But you know what? God does not want us to utter those words. He wants us to thank Him for our lives. He wants us to say, thank you. In the midst of all my trial, my suffering, in the midst of all the bad things that have happened to me, thank you for my life, and thank you that you want to rewrite my once upon a time. The second thought this evening is, it hurts God to see us get hurt. It hurts God. You know, we've given our children hidings when it was politically correct to give children hidings according to the Word of God. You're about to give your child this spanking and you say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Well, God is a parent, isn't He? And if He's watched us from the time of our conception, because He's God, He knows everybody. He can see everything at the same time. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent, omnipresent. Amen? So let's not doubt His power and His magnificence. And truly, He's that parent. What you're going through is hurting me more than it's hurting you, because I destined you to be a princess, beautiful daughter of the King. I destined you for much more than what you are experiencing right now. I want to rescue you from this. Psalm 56 verse 8 is so beautifully written as well. Just one little verse there. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. God has a book. I don't want to think that God has a book where He writes, every time I lose my rag on the road, Vilma lost her rag on the road. Every time I'm rude to my husband or cheeky or stubborn, it's recorded. I think God has got a book of all the things that have hurt us. As it says here, He's got a book here. I know that we have our names written in the book of life. He has a book of life. And our names can be written in that book of life. But I see here that He has a book that records our pain, our hurt, our sorrow, our woundedness. And it's so beautiful that He keeps track. You know, He never wanted anybody to be lost or to be condemned or cursed or doomed. Never. That was never ever God's intention. He loves us too much. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the gospel. That is the heart of God. He's not a mean God. He's not a hard God. He is a good God. When I read the Old Testament, I'm in it right now as chronologically reading my one-year Bible. I write often when I read certain things, I do not understand this, Lord. But I know You're a good God. I know You are good, and I know You do good. And I don't have to understand that to know what You've done in my life. Amen? Your wounds and hurts should not define who you are. That's not how you describe who you are. That's not how God wants us to describe who we are, even as the children of God. You know, I look at Crystal, she knew the Lord for many, 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 many years, and she still carried that wound. She still had that. But you know, the time came, and the time was right, and the time was good, and she was set free. God is not responsible for our wounds. You know, sometimes people say things like, how can God let this happen? The Holocaust, we see that. How could God let that happen? Well, can I just remind us all, we live in a cursed, fallen world. We live in a world where in the garden there was disobedience, and Adam and Eve had to be removed from the presence of God. And you know, when that happened, death, spiritual death, entered into this world. Entered into this world. We have an enemy who causes the wounds. We have an enemy who capitalizes on the brokenness of man. He influences people. We have fallen natures, and He influences those fallen natures in people to create the most heinous crimes that the world has ever seen. And you wonder, how can someone made in the image of God be so cruel and so violent and so evil. That's because the enemy is behind all evil. Amen? The enemy, not God. Just remember, I don't like talking much about the enemy, but he's called the prince of the power of the air. That's his description in the Word of God. And so he will embark on evil deeds. He'll influence people. That is why it's so important for us girls to come out of darkness where we are vulnerable to the wrong power and step into to the light where we can be influenced by the Holy Spirit and we can be filled by the Holy Spirit. I was just reminded this morning during my prayer time, and I didn't look the scripture up, but I know it's in the book of Jude. It could be verse 20. And it says, but you beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, pray in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. And you know when that happens? When you've stepped out of darkness into light, you expose yourself to God's love. He radiates his love towards us. He fills us with his Holy Spirit. He empowers us to live this life. It's become more and more difficult in this world, have you noticed, to walk in the light. But you know what God promises us? That, you know, if we're on his side, we're on the best side. If we are in the kingdom of light instead of the kingdom of darkness, we are better off. We can't be siding with the world right now. Girls, we've got to be strong and we've got to be courageous. And we've got to understand there's an enemy. Amen? So we cannot help what happens to us. We've so often heard Pastor Andre say this, quoting Robert Schuller. But we can help what happens through us and in us. And I love what Stacey Eldridge wrote in her book, Captivating. The only thing more tragic than the things that have happened to us is what we have done with them. Therefore, we mustn't lick our wounds or get together with people and support groups who lick the wounds for the rest of their lives. Amen? Not because we're not compassionate or we don't have empathy, but really there comes a time. There's a time for everything, as we read in the book of Ecclesiastes. Amen? There's a time for these things. They can't be from now until eternity. They just can't be. So we must get past what we can't get over, because our future is greater than our past. That is the Word of God. That is what the Bible says. We have purpose and power to change things around us. I also love what Joyce Meyer says. She says, let your mess become your message. Let what has happened to you become such a powerful message that the enemy will regret the moment he messed with you. Amen? The moment he messed with you, he will regret. I nearly said for the rest of his life, but I don't know how long his life is going to be. Do you know what? The enemy fears who we will become when we fall into the hands of a loving God, of a loving Father, because we become powerful in him. We become different. Amen? We are given something amazing when we read the book of Ephesians chapter 6. It says we are given a new wardrobe, the armor of God. Go look it up. It's amazing. It's the helmet of salvation. I haven't got time for it, but, you know, it's a breastplate of righteousness, a shield of faith. It's a sword of the Spirit. It's the boots of the gospel. It's the belt of truth. I mean, just go and check it out. It's such a cool outfit. Think about it. That's what God has given us. Amen? So that is why we can't lick our wounds. We've got to throw that thing aside and we've got to say, Lord, I'm putting on, thank you. This is mine now. I'm going to put on the armor of God. I'm putting on my military wardrobe. I'm going to fight this thing with all that I have. We need to give everything to God. We need to give him our past. We need to say, yeah, Lord, take it. I don't want it. Maybe right now you have that. That's what I'm going to do. You're having that thought. I don't want it. I do not want it. Crystal said, not in these words, but in other words, I don't want it. God, you heal me. Lord, you've made me that little girl again. That little girl, that little Zoe that we saw singing tonight, that's who Crystal really was. Amen. This little innocent little girl with a teddy bear, she has recaptured that 9-year-old little girl that was stolen from her, because that's what the enemy does. He comes to steal, he comes to kill, he comes to destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you may have life and that you may have it in abundance. My past will never have power over me anymore. I may not forget it, I may remember it, but it will no longer have power over me. Stop mourning. If you are mourning the loss of someone, the loss of something, the loss of your innocence, stop mourning. Because he says in Psalm 30:11, you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy. Let God do that. You know how God works in such a gentle way? The Holy Spirit is a gentle Holy Spirit. He does not come and force himself on us. And he will come again, and he will come again, and he will come again, and he'll say, let me take that from you. Give it to me. Give it to me. Let me take that heaviness off you. You know, you can see people when they have a heaviness. It's like clouds hanging over them. God says, I want to turn that around for you. I want to turn your mourning into dancing. I know it sounds ridiculous. In the natural, it sounds ridiculous. It may even sound politically incorrect what I'm saying to you now, because I'm supposed to lick your wounds with you. But I need to tell you, I no longer lick my wounds. Why should you? Amen. I have taken my mourning and given it to God, and he has turned it around. Amen. That's how we build ourselves up, by giving God what we no longer want. My third thought is, God's desire is to create us anew for purpose. We know that he wants to make us new, but it's not just to make us new. He has plans to use us. That's why he wants to renew us. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:16-19 reads, so then from now on, we have a new perspective that refuses to evaluate people merely by their outward appearances. For that's how we once viewed the Anointed One, but no longer do we see him with limited human insight. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. I just love this. The old order. Goodbye. It's gone. It's vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. And God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of reconciling others to God. In other words, it was through the Anointed One that God was shepherding the world, not even keeping records of their transgressions, and he has entrusted to us the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. You know, once we are in Christ, only in Christ, will our souls and our spirits come alive. Amen. There's a newness that comes. There's regeneration. It's like it's been said by scholars that the born again experience is a bigger miracle than a physical miracle of a blind getting their sight or of a lame being able to walk on strong legs. The born again experience is a miraculous experience. And we mustn't underestimate it. Amen. So when we are born again, come alive, we are renewed, we are a new creation, we change completely our whole nature, our outlook, our thought patterns and our behavior changes. We have like not behavior modification. Okay, mommy, I'm going to be good from now on. No, it's life transformation. Amen. And we discover a new view of life. As I read, we see people no longer about whether they're wearing Gucci, Prada, or Louis Vuitton, or whether they're wearing worn-out clothes from 20 years ago. Because who is on the inside of that is more important to God than what is on the outside of what a person wears. I I'm not downplaying all those fun things, girls. Don't keep buying those stuff if you can afford it, okay? Bring them to sisters. We'll just hold it for a minute or two and then give it back to you. But you know what? We become useful to God in His kingdom. When we are born again, it's not so that we can all just come together and sing all the latest new Hillsong songs and put our hands up in the air. That we do want to do, don't we? We love it. We love freshness and newness and the anointing. But the purpose is much, much more than that. The purpose is to reconcile others, to become so contagious in our walk with the Lord that people will want what we have. That people will say, why are you always so happy? Why are you so nice? Have you had people say that to you? You're so nice. Why are you so nice? You know why people say that? Because people are no longer nice. People are mean. People are critical. They're unkind. But you know what? In Christ, we have that beautiful change that God enables us to have. And you know, we can then look back at our once upon a time. Yeah, I used to be a real mean cow, you know. And you know, there was a once upon a time when I used to party hard. I know people like that. They have to catch Uber to get home, you know. Thank the Lord. That's no longer how I live. Amen. So we can all look back and say, wow, you know, once upon a time, that's who I was. But that's not me no longer. You know, God has rewritten a new once upon a time for me. Amen. There's a new page. I was watching Pastor Andre's message on Life by Design today for the fourth time. Sorry. Let me clarify that. I listened to his messages three times on a weekend. Then I still record Life by Design and I watch it again. So I just love it. I love him. So, and he spoke about, you know, the spirit of overcoming the spirit of having a critical spirit. And you know what? That is what this world is all about. That is what is normal, calling people out on social media. And that is not what God wants for our lives. Amen? Our purpose is to be contagious, to be nice, to try and find something nice to say, even if you have to try really, really hard. Because kindness still rules. It truly does. You want to break the ice? Thank you. You want to break the ice in a conversation? Just be nice. Don't overdo it. Don't make it so fake. Just be nice. Just be kind. Amen? Let's not fall into that category of, you know, having a critical spirit. It brings barrenness into our lives, like Michal did when she was critical of David, her husband. Amen? Haven't got time. Number four. Jesus is our knight in shining armor, ready to rescue us. So, there is a knight in shining armor. And so, my Bible tells me that there is a prince, that he came to save the princess. The princess bride, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we as women love to capitalize on that part, don't we? We love being the princess, don't we? He slays the dragon and he gives her a heaven ever after. Does he or does he not? He gives her abundant life. And there's much rejoicing in heaven when one sinner comes. There's partying, there's dancing. Now, I'll read to you from Revelations 19 because I had to find a scripture for this point. I actually didn't have one until about half an hour before I came down. And then I realized my husband's going to sit in this meeting. And I have a point without a scripture. But I want to just say for anyone who's new here, he is the prince and he does ride a horse. Revelation 19, 11, 15 to 16. Then I saw heaven opened and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a winepress. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, as I said, I'm not one for fairy tales, but I'm convinced that they have stolen their stories from the Bible. Sleeping Beauty. In Sleeping Beauty, I had to go and actually do my work on this one because I only vaguely knew the story. In Sleeping Beauty, a beautiful, long-awaited child is born to a king and queen. She is destined for great things in the kingdom of her father. At the celebration of Aurora's birth, three good fairies are there and one evil fairy, Maleficent, who I keep trying to say correctly, who cast a spell on her. Before the sun sets on her 16th birthday, she will prick her finger and die. One of the good fairies changed the curse to she will sleep and not die, but her sleep will be broken by a true love's kiss. Hopefully by the prearranged marriage to Prince Philip. Philip sets out, armed with the sword of truth, the sword of truth, and the shield of virtue. An enraged Maleficent surrounds the castle with thorns, but fails to stop Philip. She transformed into a gigantic dragon. They battle, and Philip throws the sword directly into Maleficent's heart, causing her to fall to her death. Philip awakens Aurora with a kiss, breaking the spell and waking the kingdom. The royal couple descends to the ballroom where Aurora is reunited with her father and her mother, King Stefan and Queen Leah. The happy couple dances, living happily ever after. Well, that is what happened to us, okay? So, we were destined to be and do great things in our Father's kingdom. But through sin, a curse came into the world, causing us to fall asleep, to become spiritually dead. We needed to have heaven's kiss. We needed to have our Father to send this prince. Amen? And Jesus, the Prince, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, came to our rescue. He dealt with the dragon, and the Bible calls Satan that dragon in several places. And he set us free. The crown of thorns was set upon his head. Amen. Those were the thorns. He shed his blood. He died. He rose again. He grabbed the keys of hell. He came back to life. And we today are the sons and the daughters of the living Father. And the dancing in that beautiful place, as I said, were the angels celebrating and partying in heaven. And that was the dance that had to be danced, because the story is of a great romance, a beautiful love story of God the Father that he has for us and for this world.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed and inspired by this ministry.